With you. Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. The last Sunday in our season of Epiphany is the transfiguration of our Lord. Light, light from above, light on Christ, light in Christ, light on us and through us, and reflected to the whole world. We pray that God would richly bless us as we bask in the glow of Jesus today and forever. We also celebrate the sanctity of human life today. Encourage you to check out the display table in the back, the different brochures and things that are there. They're all free. Help yourself. Any questions, please talk to one of the pastors or the vicar as well. Couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, number 414, "'Tis Good, Lord, to be Here," traditional Transfiguration hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 and following, page 151 and following. Two options for the hymn of praise. We'll sing the Gloria. The propers for the day are on the inside of our bulletin. The readings are on the back. Brief outline of the service is on the edge. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the gift of light. Light which shines in the darkness. Light which exposes our sin. Light which points us to you, the author and perfecter of all life. Heavenly Father, fill us with the light of Christ, knowing that we are in His hands, nothing or no one can snatch us out. Fill us with the light of Christ, knowing that our sins are forgiven. Fill us with the light of Christ, which moves us to share that light and that love and that life with the entire world. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, the light of the world that no darkness can overcome. Amen. Amen. Hymn 414.
Thank you. Divine Service Setting 1, page 151. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Renew us and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our service continues with the introit. You'll see it's listed on the inside of your bulletin. The choir will sing the opening and closing antiphon. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Son,
be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the transfiguration of our Lord is from Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great light, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn our attention to the gradual sung by the choir, number 867, Let Children Hear the Mighty Deeds. The epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased, we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel and Alleluia in verse.
You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise, and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated for the sermon hymn, number 413, O Wondrous Type, O Vision Fair, number 413.
Oh,
Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. You may be seated. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the words of our introit, especially those words of the antiphon, Psalm 77, 18b, your lightnings lighted up the world, the earth trembled and shook. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today is a very special day. Well, of course, the last Sunday in Epiphany is Transfiguration Day, the transfiguration of our Lord. It's more than that. February 2nd always is the minor festival of the purification of Mary and the presentation of our Lord. Did you know that? Probably not. We'll celebrate that on Wednesday. Today, February 2nd, people will gather around their TVs and worship the idol of America as we gather around, either for the commercials or for the food or actually for the football, because today is Super Bowl Sunday. But for most of the world, that's not really why today is special. Today's Groundhog's Day. We've had nothing but clouds for 11 out of the last 12 days. And what happens today? Sunshine. Whether it's Puxatawny Phil or Unadilla Bill, everybody has fun with this day. And somewhere on your dish or cable or Roku or whatever you have in your house, you'll be able to watch the movie from 1993. If you get the right channel, it will just repeat itself over and over and over again. You know what I'm talking about. Bill Murray and Groundhog's Day. It has become a classic, believe it or not. A classic because of the message, whether it was intended or not, the message that it teaches about the difference between vice and virtue. If you haven't seen the movie, Bill Murray is a weathercaster. He is selfish. He is sarcastic. He is narcissistic. Pretty much everybody hates this guy. And he gets stuck with the lowest of low assignments. He gets stuck on Groundhog's Day going to interview people in Pennsylvania about their celebration and their festival. So he does his thing, alienates everyone, gets up the next morning. But it's not the next morning. For some unexplained reason, everybody else in the whole world is on one timeline, and Bill Murray is on another. The day keeps repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating. He can't figure it out. He goes through every emotion that you can possibly go through when you are confronted with bad news, with a tragedy. First, revolt. Then, despair. He even becomes suicidal at one point in the movie. He's reckless. He's cynical. And then all of a sudden, there's a transition. None of these things have brought him satisfaction. So he decides to start being a nice guy. He takes piano lessons. He helps little old ladies change their flat tire. From the beginning of the movie to the end, you see a transformation in the attitude, the lifestyle, and dare we say, the spirituality of Bill Murray. My friends, something changed. Something changed for him. I suppose you could say he saw the light. More likely, he saw the futility of his ways, and he tried something different. What about us on this Groundhog's Day, Super Bowl Sunday, Transfiguration of Our Lord celebration? What about us? Do we see the light? We have the light of Jesus Christ shining on the mountaintop. We have Jesus giving us a glimpse of who He really is. God in the flesh. Did you see what the disciples did? They trembled and shook. What about us? Do we see the light of Christ? Do we tremble and shake? Or are we worried about our buffalo wings being at the right temperature and hotness? My friends, today we come into God's house, and it's a good day to ask ourselves, does any of this stuff that we hear actually make a difference in our lives? We come to God's house, we hear the Word of God, we eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus. We are in the fellowship, at least once in a while, we are in the fellowship of our brothers and sisters in Christ. So what? Does it actually make a difference in your life? Are we programmed for 75 or 90 minutes a week, and then we leave this house, this house of prayer, this house of worship, this house of God, and we act and we live as if nothing ever changes? It's the same thing day after day after day after day. My friends, our attention is turned to the words of our introit. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Whose lightnings? Well, God's, of course. God, who is the light of the world. God, who is the author and perfecter of light. The Son of God, the only begotten Son of the Father, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. Jesus, who comes into this world, God in the flesh, the very light of the world wrapped in humanity, giving glimpses of His glory. That's what we've seen all through this season of Epiphany, right? Jesus healing the sick, Jesus raising the dead, Jesus turning water into wine. Jesus today on the mountaintop, being completely transformed, transfigured, where the light of God shines to the point where the people trembled and shook. They trembled and shook until they heard the Word of God. The Word of God which comforted them. the word of God which absolved them, the word of God which gave them a promise that this God, this light of the world, is for them and not against them. In fact, one of the very reasons why Jesus gives them a glimpse of his glory on the mountaintop is to give them hope. Jesus goes on to predict what will happen to him. The Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinners. He will be beaten, he will be mocked, he will be crucified, and 3 days later he will come back to life. He predicts his death. He knows how traumatic it will be for the disciples. He knows how they will be shrouded in the darkness of the world. And he gives them a glimpse of his glory. He gives them the light of Christ, to give them hope, to give them peace, to see them through the dark days that lie ahead. What about you? What do you do when it's dark out? Well, you turn on the light, right? What do you do when it's dark and there's no light? It's a pretty helpless feeling, isn't it? We're not too far away from those spring thunderstorms. Those thunderstorms, especially here in Nebraska, that oftentimes come at night. You know the kind of nights that I'm talking about? The nights where it's pitch black. The nights where you don't see the moon or the stars or anything. It is just dark. And then you hear that rumble. That rumble off in the distance. And you know a storm is coming. What do you do when the lightning flashes in front of you? Are you afraid? Are you terrified? Are you worried about the magnitude of the storm? Or do you thank God for a glimpse of light in the middle of the darkness to help you see what's actually going on? My friends, both are true. Both are true. Do we see the lightning that lightens up the world as a light of terror? Or a gift of God, a light of hope, a light that shines in this dark world. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. Transfiguration gives us a preview of Easter. Jesus is the light of the world. His stone-cold dead body was placed in a tomb. And 3 days later, on that first Easter, the light of the world is now shining on everyone. Jesus, who was dead, is now alive, never to die again. For every time we have doubted the Word of God, for every time we have thought we were alone in the darkness, for every time that we sinfully and foolishly thought God was against us instead of for us, Christ Jesus has bled and died. Christ Jesus lives again. Christ Jesus forgives us our sin, wrapping us in the robe of his righteousness, feeding us with the bread of life, the medicine of immortality, to sustain us as we journey in this dark world of sin. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And it is the only one of Jesus' I am statements where he turns around and flips it on us. Jesus says, you, my children, are the light of the world. What? You, brothers and sisters in Christ, are the light of the world. We are not the light in and of ourselves. Only Jesus is that light. But like John the Baptist, we come and are called to reflect the light of Christ. To reflect the light of Christ in how we think, how we act, how we move, how we live, how we confess. I'm not talking about confessing our sins, but confessing who we are and why we are to a world that loves the darkness of sin. We all know the easy thing to do, right? Keep quiet. To take this light of Christ that God has given us and hide it under a bushel. Even the little kids sing about that, right? We don't want to let it shine. What will people think of us? We don't want to let it shine. It might affect my popularity at school or work. We don't want to let it shine because that means I might have to actually do something. My friends, what difference does it make for you that Christ is the light of the world? Christ has overcome sin, death, and the grave for you. Our introit goes on and says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. Is that you? Do you long to be in God's house and hear the word of God and receive the gifts of God? Sometimes. Once in a while. There are so many things clamoring for our time, for our attention, for our devotion. And let's be honest, folks. We can be here, right in this building, in God's house, in the courts of the Lord's house, and our head and our heart can be far away. What difference does it make for you that Christ is the light of the world and has overcome sin, death, and the grave and paid for your sins? Restore unto me, the psalmist pleads, the joy of my salvation. A hunger for the word of God, pure joy to be in the house of God. My friends, God calls his children to make the good confession. Now, making the good confession can mean a lot of different things in a lot of different ways wherever God calls you in your vocation, husband, wife, child, parent, neighbor, church member, all of us. But in the vocation of baptized child of God, God calls us to stand up for his gift of life. I know today it's very popular to say, well, you know, that's just politics. And the church can't get involved in politics. My friends, one of the biggest lies of Satan is that the sanctity of human life is a political issue. And not an issue that is clearly taught in God's word. When you get right down to it, you don't even have to be a Christian to realize that in America, it is built into the fabric of this country, the sanctity of human life. People fought and bled so that we could have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Remember that phrase? You can't have the pursuit of happiness unless you first have life. Our world is steeped in a culture of death. My friends, we don't like to have our apathy or our idolatry confronted in any way, shape, or form, do we? The whole world is going crazy right now because just over 300 people have died from something called a coronavirus. It's good for us to be on guard. It's good for us to be alert for new ways that sin manifests itself in our world, to work together with other countries to stop what could be a potentially worldwide deadly virus and crisis. Just over 300 people have died. Do you know that last year, the leading cause of death was not cancer or heart disease or any other kind of disease for that matter, but that 42.3 million people died in the world. 42.3 million people died in the world by abortion. 1 year. Here in America, just under 1 million babies a year die in abortion. That's more than cancer, heart disease, car accidents, and a whole slew of other things combined. And yet when you hear the statistics about the leading cause of death in America, abortion is never mentioned. Why is it? Because people love the darkness rather than the light. 30 years ago, we heard politicians say, we need to keep abortion safe, legal, and rare. Remember that? What do we hear now? Buy a t-shirt that says, celebrate your abortion. People love darkness. And this culture of death, this devaluing of life, has led to all kinds of other sin and consequences of sin. Studies have showed a dramatic link between abortion and suicide, between abortion and sex trafficking, between abortion and transgenderism. The statistics go on and on and on. In our country, in many places, healthcare professionals are being forced either to perform abortions or assist with euthanasia or lose their job. There's a funny word, isn't it? Euthanasia? Happy death? How in the world did that get into our vocabulary? And yet in many places in our country, euthanasia is just one part of your health care plan. Our neighbors to the north are refining this whole euthanasia science. In Quebec, just this last year, in Quebec, 1,331 doctor-assisted euthanasias. 1,331. Well, these people must have really been sick, right? Three of those people were euthanized. You know why? Because they fell and broke their hip. My friends, the darkness of sin is like a shroud that hangs over our country. Does it make any difference in your life that the light of Christ has given you life? How is this light of Christ reflected in what you do, what you say, what you think, how you confess your faith? Jesus Christ has given us life. Jesus Christ forgives us for our bad and false confessions. Jesus Christ gives us the strength and the power to speak and to live so that by our words, by our actions, and by our lives, our lightnings light up the world. What are we to do? There are many things we can do right here and right now. We can offer assistance for new mothers who are struggling with a difficult decision or choice, or new mothers who have made the choice for life and need help, need blankets, need diapers, need formula, need the rent paid. What can we do right here and now? We can encourage young men that if you are going to make a baby, that you can be responsible enough to care for that baby. And we will give you all the tools and all the education that you need to see this responsibility. What can we do right here and now? We can be champions for adoption and foster care. What can we do right here and right now? We can, as a church, stop pretending that the doctrine of creation does not exist. We have sold our souls and let the whole world teach this nonsense of evolution. God is the author of life. God is the creator of the world. God is your creator. And we need to stand up and shout it from the mountaintops. My friends, Satan loves Groundhog's Day because it's just the same thing over and over and over again. My friends, today, the light of Christ shines on us. The light of love, the light of forgiveness, the light of life. May this light of Christ create in us a hunger and a thirst and a passion for God's word. May it create in us an attitude that loves and serves our neighbor in any and every situation. And may God's word transform us. Even as we live in this dark world and culture of death, to be people, to be champions for God's gift of life. May God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding. Keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our confession in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. Please stand.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God, God, life, life, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who is spoken by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The divine service continues with the prayer of the church. In addition to those prayer requests listed in our bulletin, we have one additional prayer request. We pray for Lorraine's sister Pearl, suffering from a stroke last week, who has returned home, that there may be strength and healing as she continues forward. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks for all of your goodness, and we bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and the hope of life that is to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Save and defend your whole church, purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Strengthen your faithful people through the word and sacraments, making them perfect in love and in all good works, and establishing in them the faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant your wisdom and grace to all pastors and to those who hold office in your church, that by their devoted service faith may abound and your kingdom increase. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In your mercy, strengthen newly established congregations as well as those who have been long existent. Support them all in challenging times. Make them steadfast, abounding in the work of the Lord, and let their faith and zeal for the gospel refresh and renew the witness of your people everywhere. Lord, in your mercy, preserve our own country in justice and honor, that we may lead peaceful lives with integrity. Grant health and favor to all those who bear office in our land, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of Nebraska, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Take from us hatred and prejudice. Instead, give us the spirit of love and order our days in your peace. Prosper the labor of all those who work to bring peace and justice to the nations of the world, that mutual understanding and common endeavor may be increased among all peoples. Be especially with those serving in our armed forces. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless the schools of the church and all colleges, universities, and centers of research, and those who teach and work in them. Grant your wisdom in such measure that people may serve you honorably in church and state, and that our common life may be conformed to the way of your truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, you are the giver of the gift of life. Grant that we might bless it and uphold it and support it in all the things we do in our world, both in the political sphere and also in our homes, in the personal sphere. Unite the members of all families in a spirit of affection and service, that they may show your praise in our land and throughout all the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
By your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow, need, sickness, or adversity, especially those in our own congregation, including Pearl, Jan, Irma, Mark, Cecilia, Peggy, Norma, Alvin, Barb, James, Susan, Leanne, Todd, Dean, Lori, and all others whom we name in our hearts. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith, especially those who mourn the loss of those Christians killed this last week in Nigeria. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those who sorrow and mourn, and keep all in your tender care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the light of Christ would light up your life with forgiveness, life, and a good confession. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
Our divine service continues with the offertory, page 159. Please stand.
For
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We give them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at his transfiguration revealed his glory to the disciples, that they might be strengthened to proclaim his cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy,
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples and said, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. When the bride is taken away, the sin of the world, have mercy on us. When the bride is taken away, the sin of the world, have mercy on us. When the
body of Christ you are free. The body of Christ you are free. The body of Christ you are free. The body of Christ you are free. 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 Body of Christ.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus, given unto death for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. Part now in peace and joy.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
This time we stand and sing our post-communion canticle found on page 165. Page 165, please stand. Let us pray. We give thanks to Almighty God that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 416.
Thank you.
Welcome in the name of Jesus. Kids, go get some goodies. We'll be back here in about 5 minutes or so for our Sunday school opening. I know we're running a little bit behind today. That's a windy preacher's fault, I guess. You're all invited for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. Make sure you check out the Lincoln Area Lutherans for Life display. All the material on top of the table is free. Help yourself, or if you know of someone that could benefit from something that you come across, make sure you grab a few extras in that respect. Check your cubbies. Some additional information about Lutherans for Life is there. We'll continue our look at Romans chapter 5 in the fellowship hall. Summary Christian Doctrine, room 109. What are we studying today, Pastor?
The Lord's Supper.
The Lord's Supper, the gift of life, the medicine of immortality. Thanks be to God. Big event that we have coming up this week is the Pancakes for Pecan fundraiser. I took a look at the sign-up sheet before I came in here today, and we got lots of gaps on there. So if you can help out in any way, shape, or form, cooking, serving, setting up, cleaning up, that'd be a great blessing. Most importantly, come and eat on Tuesday. I hate to even mention this. We do have a snow day if the day gets snowed out. The weather forecast is a little tenuous for Tuesday, but we hope and pray that we can have it and pull it off, and that all will go well for our pancakes for pecan. Pastor, anything else?
Those of us from North Dakota will be, no, just
yeah.
Kidding. No, please do sign up. Many hands make light work, so I'll stand back there by the sign-up sheet, and you can sign up as you shake my hand, and that way you'll feel extra guilty and make sure you put your name down.
Yeah, a little passive-aggressive effort there, Pastor. Years ago, there was a church out in western Nebraska that had written down in their minutes for their church council or elders or whatever board meeting it was, it said, "The weather was so bad today, only the sick and the elderly made it to church." Yeah, okay, all right. Please join us for coffee and goodies. Have a great day in the light of Christ.